Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
It's true, we are.
We really are.
It's true.
Yeah, and we haven't seen each other for, it seems like, ages. So this is a great day for me because we're going out for dinner afterwards.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I just want to mention in a plug of shameless self-promotion that Out of the Clear Blue Sky, my most recent novel, thank you, listeners, for making it a best-selling novel. Oh. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Did really well.
Hooray.
And also, the female friendships in that book are exemplary.
Oh.
They're fun, they're solid, and when they're in one situation, when they're not, they find a way to make it so. So, just in thinking about female friendship, one of my reviews called it Lily's enviable circle of friends.
Oh!
We should all have such friends as Lily.
That's what we aspire to.
Yeah. So, if you haven't picked it up yet, please do.
There you go.
I would so appreciate it, and I think you'd really like it. It's very funny, great beach read, and of course, it has a giant and adorable dog named Zeus. So, Joss, we have a tome to read this week.
We do. I titled it Super Crazy Friends. I'm sure you'll give it a better
title. Super Crazy Friends is kind of great. I love it. Go for it.
Super crazy. Okay. Greetings, ladies. I've been listening to your podcast since almost the very beginning, and it's helped me so much. I've had bad luck in friendships and other close female relationships throughout my entire life. I'm in my 30s and coming to terms with my upbringing in a very abusive family background, which probably explains my troubles a bit and the patterns that manifest in my life and friendships. I'm a writer for a living, as you'll see how long-winded I am. I do have my first book coming out soon as an author. Yay. Good for
Congratulations.
You.
Congratulations.
Yep. I do generally have friends, both men and women, though they're not deep or close. And when they do seem to get on a closer level, that's when problems arise.
I'm just handing you my edited version.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, I did take out a few paragraphs.
Thousands of pages, Super Crazy Friends. Thousands.
She has a lot to say.
Yes, which I appreciate.
We do. We love.
I do love a long letter. I appreciate that. So, right now I'm looking for some guidance and perspective on ending some specific friendships. I also wonder, am I doing something wrong? Do I attract crazy people? I'm getting to know other people deeper who seem a lot more level-headed for now. I'm still cautious, as I just never know when someone might flip on me and seem crazy all of a sudden.
It does happen.
It does. They flip the script, and there it is. I have two friends, Sharon and Karen.
Not their real names.
Both these women seem to have to base their friendships with me entirely on how much I can be a sympathetic ear to them. I don't know where that starts or how that happens. They only seem to want to seek an audience with me about their toxic relationships. But when things go fine in that area, they go almost completely dead or unavailable, and I'm somehow the one left to try to keep up the friendship, reaching out, trying to figure out times to meet up, etc. Both these women were more surface acquaintances / friends that I have for about 10 years. But then I recently wanted to get to know them better, and it would seem to go really well at first. Mm-hmm. Sorry. That's a really good drink.
I need cocktails for this
just
podcast.
Let me know. Tons in common, lots to talk about. We'd hit it off. They would be just as supportive of me as I would be of them when we discussed some big problems in life. Then the things would dribble off into nothing, with them only reaching out to me during a crisis. In the meantime, I've been dealing with my own enormous crises that have been comparatively way more traumatic than theirs. I hate to say it, but it's true. Having your whole family turn against you is very traumatic.
Mm.
Very true. I have made extremely hard but right decisions and put a halt to the toxic patterns in my life with my family, my marriage, other friends, etc. It's involved a lot of deep heartbreak, grief, and making big steps to own my power, self-love, and confidence. I would turn to these friends for support during these times while also seeing a therapist, but each time they talk about their toxic relationships, which they refuse to work on or end, and my problems were put to the side. conversations in person or by text would become all about their issues. Perseverating. That. Or ruminating on patterns. On patterns they could not free themselves from, and which I became a sounding board for, despite all my own issues. If I bring stuff up, they wouldn't have much to say or seem bored until it would turn back to their problems. But here's the crazy part. When I get to the point of realizing that these friendships aren't working for me and start to distance, draw up boundaries and respond less and become less available and do the slow fade, as you ladies call it, these friends ramp up the pressure to stay connected and in the weirdest ways. For example, sending me 12-page long emails after going quiet for months about every thought and feeling going on in their lives, including UFO conspiracies. I didn't know they believed, and CCing me on emails they sent to the government of said UFO phenomena. CC me. I'm the one to CC about that.
I really want to hear about this.
Sending texts of a similar length with bullet points of all the problems they're dealing with for me to help sort out for them.
Also, I like the bullet points, though. Like, props for organization.
It's very organized. I do like organization. Also, after being completely unavailable for months, telling me they have sex dreams and fantasies about my husband.
What?
Without thinking it's weird. Oh, my God. Making up that they have a husband and telling people in front of me about her non-existent husband, who I know couldn't possibly exist, casually dropping in a text message that they talked to me in their heads, saying they're making strange efforts to stalk their exes, maybe even trying to run over their ex with their car, making a great show of giving me a gift certificate for my birthday, and when I receive it, it's actually just a cheap coupon. Oh, that's awesome! Oh my God!
Just a cheap coupon.
I love it! Ladies, I look forward to hearing what you think of all, as I'm still puzzling over how I could pick up on any red, how I could not pick up any red flags for crazy and suddenly end up here. And this stuff is crazy, right? Okay, Kristen, okay. Hands over to you. There's a third paragraph there.
Third paragraph. Sharon was or is on and off again dating a male friend of mine I've known for over a decade. When we first met, Sharon seemed quiet, nice, sweet, generous, similar interests, and not crazy at all. At first. Sharon and I bonded because my spouse and my male friend, they are longtime friends, were having similar struggles in life, and that we, their significant others, were having to deal with and support them through this, and it was very hard. It felt great to have someone to talk to who gets it. We were very supportive of each other in the midst of these problems. Sharon was also dealing with a major falling out with her family that sounded very, very similar to mine. It was such a relief to be able to talk to someone about coming from an emotionally abusive family because it's such an isolating experience to deal with, ripping off the band-aid and go no contact with a narcissistic family, as they call it. One night, Sharon and I had a rowdy, fun, magical time of bonding over drinks and talking about so many subjects and spiritualities and beliefs in life. It felt like we had connected on a very strong level, and we were truly deeply there for each other, wondering why we hadn't clicked more as friends earlier. That seemed to be the height of our friendship. She even offered for me to stay at her place during a time when I virtually had no fellow women to support me amidst my family problems, when things were also bumpy with my spouse. If I needed space from him for a bit while working on our marriage, that was very kind.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I saw Sharon, things had smoothed out between my spouse and me, and it was as if our bond disappeared or had never happened. When I see her now, she seemed spaced out, quiet, and having this strange, unnerving energy, almost as if she was expecting something from me. I found myself having to do all the heavy lifting in our conversations, or she would go completely quiet or default to topics I couldn't relate to at all. Or she would just talk about my friend, my male friend, she was dating. This seemed to be what she wanted to talk about the most, but the conversation would honestly just go in circles and never change. One time she texted me, sounding frantic, saying she was feeling ill, vomiting and puking at home. Same thing. I happened to be in town and stopped by with treats and drinks to help her feel better. but she seemed completely normal when I got there. Completely quiet. Mm-hmm. It was eerie. Mm-hmm. While I was continuing to work on my marriage, Sharon told me she was done with dating my male friend, which I thought was a good idea, mm-hmm. because of his toxic behavior, though she really wanted to talk to him. This started to tire me out, because this guy was my friend. I felt I had said my piece about their relationship. But Sharon seemed a little obsessed, and despite knowing he wasn't any good for her, she was adamant on talking with him and discussing how she could make their paths cross again, and the times that she had been successful with that, including what almost sounded like barely missing hitting him with her car. Barely missing him with her car when he was on his bicycle. It sounded a little like stalking. A little? A little strange and obsessive. And maybe she was trying to hit him with her car, but I couldn't be sure. I started to notice some other weird things about Sharon. She would make up claims, tell stories, or say this or that happened in her life, and the facts wouldn't line up at all. I've had this friend.
You have?
It all sounded really far-fetched after a while. One or two stories, sure, but three or four incredulous life experiences or miracle-like happenings every time I see you in the span of a few hours? Come on. I started to wonder if she was making up a lot of stuff about, well, everything. Maybe even making up things about her relationship with my male friend that made him out as toxic. Late one night, when I was spending time with her and another friend, she blurted out that her husband had come over the other day and helped her with landscaping projects. Sharon is not married. She lives alone. I know this because I've stayed at her place. Unless she hid him somewhere, she does not have a husband. Later on, Sharon's infrequent messages to me started to become cryptic and erratic, filled with strange symbols and garbled paragraphs that made no sense, coming in late at night, often at 2 a.m. when I was sleeping. One message she sent me was just a copy and paste of one of my texts with a line-by-line response to all my points, almost as if she was editing what I said or responding to a business email. Passing it back to you. She once left.
She once left me a voicemail, too, but it was mumbling quietly. That's creepy.
I'm sorry.
That's creepy.
It's like a witchcraft
spell. It is. It's like the saw or something. And I could barely hear anything. At this point, I was starting to respond to her less and less, but she was also going through long periods of not reaching out to me or responding to my messages either. For my birthday, which she seemed excited about, she told me she was getting me a gift certificate to a spa treatment. I was delighted. When she handed it to me, it was just a coupon. I love that so much.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
I just think that's just classic. Then out of the blue, after Sharon had been acting distant and not responding, she started to passive-aggressively complain to me by text that I didn't try to meet up with her enough, and that text messaging was very unsatisfying to her. I offered to invite her up to my place and said I was just really busy with my business and writing and dealing with a relapse of some of my health. She said I was very low energy at the moment and couldn't make it down there anytime soon, but that I'd still love to spend time with her, though some part of me hoped it would work out. It wouldn't work out. Mm-hmm. A response, flimsy excuses that didn't make sense, like her car wasn't up for it.
Okay.
Okay. Living car, yeah. Coming to see my place, like her car wasn't up for it, coming to see my place when she'd been up for gatherings many times, or that she was exposed to COVID. I'd see on social media that she would make long trips and gather with others, however. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started implementing the slow fade. A few weeks later, I learned that Sharon was making demands of my male friend, who she was no longer dating, such as telling him who he could be friends with.
Oh!
This controlling behavior of Sharon's towards my friend really disturbed me. I resolved not to pursue this friendship. It was the last thing I wanted or needed. However, Sharon has still tried to contact me and cross paths with me in very awkward ways and has sent me over-the-top flowery messages that are a sharp contrast to the dead silence I got from her before. But the most awkward thing was a few weeks ago. I was selling things at a sale with some other ladies, actually another friend and friend group I'm getting to know, and she just showed up at the booth unannounced out of the blue. I wonder if she saw I would be there on via social media and decided to go, though it seems a little stalkery, because she definitely didn't talk to me about meeting up. She just quietly hovered next to us as the rest of us talked about our interests, being completely mute.
Oh.
It's such a horror film.
I
it
know,
really is. In
really?
The making.
And this is like single white female.
It
right?
is. At one point, I even went to the bathroom, and when I walked back out, she was right on the other side of the door. My God! Finally, I asked how she was doing, since it was clear she wasn't going to say anything to me, even though she had shown up unannounced. She said, "I've been so busy," and then made the most uncomfortable eye contact I've ever experienced in my life, and in complete silence, without asking me a goddamn thing. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. And the eye contact went on for way too long, maybe like a full 5 to 10 seconds. It was creepy. And here's the last thing, ladies. Even after that wildly awkward event, I just got a message from her out of the blue, almost 2 months since she tried to contact me. Guess what she wanted to talk about? Her entanglement with this male friend. She said, almost as if we had just talked yesterday, which was weird, just letting you know it's not going to work out with him and I. And I'm thinking, no, duh, that's what you said months ago. Then, by the way, what are you up to today, this weekend? Let's meet up. I'll drive to you. My questions are, this is roughly the fourth friendship I've dealt with in the last 2-3 years that has gone this route. What would you tell her? What am I doing to attract these crazies? How can I see these red flags before I'm entrenched? What should I change so I can stop doing this? Sorry again for the novels. Thanks, ladies. You're happy to learn and eager to listen. Learn listener. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to call you Eager to Learn.
Okay.
Girl.
Girl. That was a wonderful
we
email.
Really enjoyed your problems.
I do.
And
that was
suffering.
Wonderful.
Thank you for sharing. Okay. All right. Eager to Learn.
Mm-hmm.
You say that you come from a very dysfunctional family. So, we get it.
Yeah.
I understand. This, I believe, makes you more comfortable with
yes.
the crazies.
Yes.
You grew up with them. They role modeled for you
yeah.
what relationships should be.
Yeah.
Crazy, weird, uncomfortable, awkward, stalkerish, whatever.
Right.
And so, you almost know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
crazy people are not a problem for you
right.
because you've been surrounded by them all your life.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's something about you, and I don't say this in judgment, just as a matter of fact and as someone who can relate, you enjoy the crazies.
I think you do. I think you like hearing about her UFO
yeah.
experiences.
I mean, we did.
We enjoyed it completely. With the glyphs to kind of back up that this is
yeah.
the UFO experience. I think you like that.
I feel like, you know, crazy friends like this, they keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
They're never boring.
Yeah.
And this is what you're used to.
Yeah, it is. You're,
so,
yeah.
you know, 2 o'clock in the morning texts from crazy people with links to, you know, fake government websites about UFOs. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not a stranger to that.
Yeah.
Now, is Sharon ever going to bring meaning and substance and grace and enjoyment to your life? No.
Hell no.
You know that.
Come on.
Come on, honey. So, you can end the friendship.
You can.
But I'm going to say this lovingly.
Mm-hmm.
You lack the guts to do so.
I think you are just not accustomed to employing healthy tools to, like, set boundaries and
right.
do all the things.
Right.
Which is why it's so easy for you to deal with this craziness, because,
mm-hmm.
as Christian said, it is familiar to you.
Right.
And you know how to deal with this. And someone saying, boom,
right.
boundary,
and
it might be a little off-putting,
you know,
for you.
The entertainment factor of Sharon alone
oh,
might be worth it. You know, you gave us a 6-page letter
I know.
Of absolute delight. And,
I know.
And that was the edited version.
That was the edited version.
Because there's another friend in there. That
there
we're
was
gonna
Karen.
Get Karen gets her own letter.
I know. And I mean, feel free.
Yeah, please. Don't hold back. So, we get it. You
yeah.
know, if you say, hey, Sharon, I'm really sorry to say this, but our friendship isn't working for me.
Yeah.
I hope everything goes well for you in the future, but I just don't have the time or energy to stay in a relationship with you.
Yes.
That would end your relationship. You block her from your social media.
Yeah.
You block her from your phone.
Yeah.
But then you don't have this wildly entertaining crazy pants friend.
You don't. And I mean, it's even easier than that. I mean, you've done the slow fade. And when she calls, when she reaches out to you again, just don't answer.
You can't, yeah, because you're like you're like the abused puppy. You come running back.
You do. She sends you the UFO text. You don't have to answer that.
Right, right. And, you know, so it's very easy. You don't even live in the same city.
Yeah.
So we know that you could end this friendship.
Yeah.
It's just really, do you want to?
Yes.
And, you know, also, there are people who just don't get the hint. I have this friend.
Why are you pointing at me?
We both know her.
Okay.
This woman was not a good person, good friend, good anything, really.
Mm.
But we knew her through professional reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day.
Yeah.
She reaches out to me.
Really?
Yeah. She just doesn't get the... I never respond. It's been like 10 years since I responded to her.
Yeah.
She cannot resist.
Right.
And I don't even know if she notices that I don't respond.
Right.
But she just wants... I haven't blocked her from my social media. I actually don't know that... I probably could, but, you know, it's benign enough interaction.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of many who comments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, do you not know that our friendship is over?
Yeah.
You know, you cross certain lines and I cannot go back, do not want to go back. But without me saying, never contact me again, you're
right.
Dead to me, which, you know, is a pretty harsh thing to say. For me, it's okay if she comments on my public page once in a while.
Right.
But she never got the hint.
Right.
So someone like Sharon might be the same way. You've tried to slow fade. She's sensed it. She's reached out. You've come back. Again, the entertainment of this friendship might be entertaining enough for you to keep her.
Yeah.
That's your choice. But in terms of your question about, like, what are you doing to attract the crazies,
right,
and how you can see the red flags, I think that because you come from where you came from and the bad habits and personalities and all that you grew up with, you have this inability to know healthy versus not healthy.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You can work on that, you and your therapist. And what I would say is stop looking for the people who need friends.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't have any women friends, because they don't have anyone to sit with.
Right.
You know, it's always that sort of
right.
impulse of like, oh, I see someone who doesn't have any friends and I'll be their friend because I'm a nice person.
Right.
Which is, I've talked about this many times in the podcast, a trap that I've fallen into.
Yes.
I think I'll be friends with everyone.
Yes.
They don't have to be a good person.
Right.
And then I find out, like, you know, later I have to get rid of these friends,
yes,
because they're really bad for me.
Yes.
And bad for my life. And so I think you should take a look at the people who have great friendships.
Yeah.
Co-workers who seem to have the book club gals, the after work drinks pals, the you know, the hiking club pals, whatever it is, and who seem really normal.
Yeah.
And kind of unremarkable. In the best ways.
Like, yeah.
The medically unremarkable, you know? When someone says, like, your ultrasound was unremarkable, that's the best news you
could
hear.
That's what you really
want
to hear.
This is what you want in a friend.
Yeah.
Someone who is not draped in red flags,
right,
who's not texting you about UFOs in the middle of the night. But these women who have these sort of normal, healthy friendships,
mm-hmm,
whether it's, like, your aunt or your neighbor or something, watch, listen, and learn.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, maybe try to get close to them. Maybe they're not as colorful and entertaining as Sharon, but what they bring in this sort of, I'm going to use the word loosely, boring friendship.
Yeah.
Is reliability.
Yeah.
Constancy, predictability.
Yes.
Those are really good qualities to have in a friend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think you are talking yourself out of seeing the red flags, which women do with a partner.
Joss and I have done as well.
Yeah, like you meet a guy or you meet a girl and you see the red flags, but you think somehow it will be different with you. And no.
And you feel more sympathetic because you did come from a dysfunctional background. So you think, like, you don't be perfect to be my friend. I understand.
No, but you need to be sane.
Yeah.
Let that be a priority.
Sanity. Number one. Sanity.
You need to be sane. And any red flag. So, like, a lot of times people don't necessarily see the red flags. But if you find yourself talking yourself into going out with someone, that is when you should stop and say, wait, am I talking myself into going out with her despite this? And should I be doing that? That's when you can, like, stop yourself.
Right. And you talk about what you've needed from friends and how Sharon has never risen to the occasion.
Yeah.
That's an imbalance. And I'm so big on reciprocity in friendships that, you know, when someone ignores you when the chips are down, when you're having a hard time, when you reach out and they don't respond, that's not a friendship.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Sharon's not your friend.
Sharon?
You are a person Sharon has caught in her web.
Sharon waited while you were in the bathroom and freaked you out when you came out of the stall, man.
It's so horrible.
It's so bad. It's the Saw.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think you need to watch the Saw and Single White Team in the same evening.
Yeah. And then stared at you for a long time.
That, the description of your eye contact makes me want to read your novel.
I know.
But yeah, Sharon sounds like there's something off. And you are not required to stick by her and fix it and get her into therapy and get her to see why her habits are destructive and all that. So if you've been trying to do that for a long time.
And let me preemptively say, you don't have to do it with Karen either.
Right.
I mean, you could send us a letter.
Yeah, we still want to see the letter.
But you don't have to do anything like that with her either.
Right. But Joss is famous for saying this, take your time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking to meet new friends, because you do have this habit of taking, let's say, the foundlings, the women who don't have friends, who seem a little bit odd and out there, you want to rescue them the way that you were not rescued yourself.
Right. Right.
Stop it.
Yes.
You know, it's not your job to fix people. You're incapable of fixing people, even if you want to. And once you see one of these red flags, once someone says to you, you know, like, you know, there's UFOs and the government is hiding it from us and I have 17 articles to send you.
Turn right around.
Yep, that's the end.
Turn right around and leave.
Once you say, like, oh my gosh, I'm in so much distress. My husband and I had a huge fight and I don't know what to do. And no one responds.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Bye.
Yeah.
They're not your friends.
Yeah.
So take your time, vet them, watch them. And when you see the red flags, acknowledge them.
Don't talk yourself out of it.
Don't keep going out over the cliff.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't say, well, I know how it feels, so I'm going to do this. No, don't talk yourself out of it. You see it. Your gut is telling you this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe read The Gift of Fear, which is one of my favorite books.
Such a good book.
Gavin DeBecker? Gavin something.
Yeah. It's a fabulous book. You had me read that book years ago, and I wrote a book about it.
It's so good.
I wrote a novel based on, you know, an incident there. But yeah, your gut tells you, she crazy, or, you know, or this is someone who seems really solid.
Yeah.
And I do think that coming from your background, solid might seem boring.
Yeah.
It might seem uninteresting. And I don't know that you have the experience with normal friends. Mm-hmm. I'm using that in quotes. Reliable, reciprocal, decent people who want to spend time with you. I don't think you have enough experience with that to understand how dysfunctional these other friendships have become.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why do you attract the crazies is because, you know, you're just this big, sweet, open person who says, come to mommy, I will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
The way I wasn't taken care of.
Right, right. I do hope you're working on
your
issues from your family and everything like that, because you could heal those and definitely heal yourself and be able to set some more boundaries.
And you're in your 30s, you said, so this is the decade to start straightening this stuff out.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything in their 20s.
Yes, it's true.
30s is when you start to make all these mistakes and say, oh, why did I spend so much time with this person, whether it's a partner or a friend, job. And 40s is when you start learning everything.
Yeah.
And 50s, awesome.
It is. The awesome. It's kind of cool because you don't really...
There's no bullshit anymore.
It's done. That's We're finished. Done. Yeah. It's good.
So we look forward to hearing about Karen.
Here, I'm going to do something really creepy to you, Kristen.
Oh, look, she's smearing her very chapped lips. Oh, stop with the eye contact. I can't look away. Somebody save me.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.